Deuteronomy chapter 1. I was thinking after Brother Charles said what he said, maybe we need to do something. Mrs. Brown in the church where she grew up, they would have what they call, sometimes they'd have what they call a Jericho March, okay? Now, some of you know what that is, and some of you don't, and you say, what is it? Don't worry about it, all right? But I thought maybe we need to have a wave Sunday, okay? We need to line up, everybody come by and wave, and the folks that are not able to come, and we got people watching. I think Mrs. Sizemore that comes, she comes when she comes down from Oklahoma. Her sister lives down here. When she comes, she always comes to church, and she's written us and talked about watching the services, so we can wave at her. She said she likes to watch, see, you know, folks that are there. And Cheryl Fondon's very faithful to watch in Alabama and other people doing that. So we just come on and wave at them, I guess, you know. Let them know, hey, we're thinking about you. And so that'd be maybe a good idea. I don't know. Deuteronomy chapter 1, are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to begin reading down in verse 24, all right? Excuse me. Verse 19 is where we're going to start. We're going to finish at verse 24. Verse 19 says, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, what is going on, Moses is speaking to the nation of Israel as they stand ready to finally enter into the land of Canaan, all right? Now, last Wednesday night spoke to you out of Numbers, I think Numbers chapter 12, maybe, chapter 11, chapter 12, but what's happening here is a little bit 40 years later, okay? And it's Moses, he stands before the people. They're finally ready to enter into the land of Canaan. They've spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness after their failure at Kadesh Barnea, all right? They failed there to go in and possess the land when they had the opportunity to do it the first time. So when we get to our text verses here, Moses is recounting, if you will, the mistake that they made and they had made when they were originally poised to enter the land. That's what he's saying in verse 21, all right? Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, and neither be discouraged, all right? And I'll just remind you, In Numbers chapter 12, chapter 13, when they get to Kadesh Barnea, they had spent about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, after leaving Egypt, all right? And they had spent that time, and God during that time had miraculously led them. He miraculously led them out of Egypt. He miraculously led them through the Red Sea. He miraculously led them through the wilderness, all right? And he had just as miraculously provided food and water and protection for them during that journey. They came up to battle the Amorites, and God worked it out where they whipped them, all right? He had protected them. He had provided for them. He had led them all the way. He had brought them, if you will, to the very brink of the promised land. But here's what I want to preach to you about tonight is when faith takes or when faith took a back seat, okay? When faith took a back seat. You see, up until this time, they had been led by God through Moses. Amen. All right? God had led that nation through Moses. He had taken them through. He would speak to Moses, and the people followed him. The people followed, okay? Now, there had been griping. Oh, yeah. There had been complaining. Yes, a lot of it. They had been murmuring. They were champion murmurers, okay? But eventually, they had followed Moses as Moses had followed God, okay? But they get to Kadesh Barnea, and they deviated from that plan, and it was going to cost them dearly. Dearly, all right? You say, what happened? I put it this way. Faith took a back seat. Faith took a back seat. I want to remind you, first of all, the command of God had not changed. The command of God had not changed. And he says it there in verse 21. It was go up and possess it. Go up and possess it. Fear not, neither be discouraged. This is the land, all right? God had brought them out of Egypt. He had brought them through the wilderness. He had delivered them to Kadesh Barnea for that very purpose. He had set them ready where they were ready to enter into the land. Hey, look, he had given them the land. He gave the land to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. It was their land, okay? I can put the postscript on it. It's still their land, all right? That hasn't changed, all right? But, hey, it was up to them to go and possess it. Go in there and get it, all right? Well, what changed? Won't you look at verse 22 where we read? Won't you look at verse 22? They were in Kadesh Barnea. Now, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13 in just a minute, all right? But I want you to see what's happened, all right? Because the Lord gives us extra information here. They were told in verse 21, you go, man, the Lord of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Go up and possess the land as your land. But look what happened, verse 22. And ye came near unto me, every one of you. Are you with me? He said, ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. And they shall search us out the land and bring, all right, and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. I want you to see this. I want you to see it was the people of God that instigated this change. It was them. They came to Moses and said, all right, Moses, we know we're going to go possess the land, but wait a minute. Let's send some men in, all right, before us. Now notice what it said. They shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. Hey, can I just remind you? There had been no men sent before them to spy out anything in the wilderness so far. So why change the plan? Why change the plan? There hadn't been a need for that. Hadn't been a need for any men. Now, you see, until now, it had been God who had led them. It wasn't like TV movie and wagon train, you know, crossing to Oregon, and you got the scout and the wagon leader, and he sends the scout out ahead to find the water holes and all that. It wasn't that. It was God led them. God led them. Man, he had put a pillar of fire at night. He had put the pillar of cloud by day, and he would lead them, all right? It was God who said move. When God said move, they moved. It was God who had said camp here, and they camped here. If he said stay here a while, they stayed a while, all right? Hey, I noticed there were no spies needed in the wilderness. Hadn't been a need for them, all right? But you say, where'd the need come from? Well, unbelief saw the need. Unbelief saw the need. All right, now, look at verse 23. I want you to see it here, all right? The command of God hadn't changed. The people instigated the change, and Moses went for the suggestion. In verse 23, and the saying pleased me well. All right? And the saying pleased me well. And I said, all right, I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, all right? Now it pleased Moses. I just want, now I don't want you to get upset with me. If you're familiar with the scriptures, you may be thinking, but preacher, what about? What about? Okay, we'll just hang in there. We'll get there. All right? It pleased Moses, but there's no indication that anybody checked to see if it pleased God. You with me? There's no indication that anybody checked to see if it pleased God. You said, wait a minute, but Moses was a leader. He sure was, but the fact that it pleased Moses didn't make it right. Amen. Didn't make it right. Just because it pleased Moses did not make this situation right. It didn't make it to be the thing they ought to do and should have done. Then notice Moses said, I took 12 men of you. Man, he chose. As it turned out, he chose 10 losers and 2 winners. All right? He chose 10 losers and 2 winners. Go back if you want. Let's go now back over to Numbers chapter 13. All right? In Numbers chapter 13, it records the name of every one of those 12. I dare say nobody in here could name more than 2. You with me? Not a one of, and hey, I got my hand up, me either. I couldn't name but 2. Those 10 losers that were picked, their names are recorded in the Bible, but they have been conveniently forgotten. I mean, they're here. We can look at it, all right? You know, God gives us the name of each man. He gives us the tribe they're from and all of that. But hey, they were losers. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their lack of faith. But those two we know as heroes. Those two we know as heroes. I mean, Caleb and Joshua, they're on the top, buddy. Top-notch people, all right? So what's going on? Now you say, preacher, what about verse 1 and 2 of chapter 13? Well, here's what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, preacher, how do you square that, what you've been saying? You're saying that it pleased Moses. Where's the evidence that it pleased God? Didn't God tell him to do it? Yes, he did. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It'll work this way in my life. It'll work this way in your life. And it can work this way in the Israelites. On occasion, God decides, okay, I'm going to let you have what you want. I'm going to let you have what you want. Folks, I just want to tell you, the easiest way for God to punish me and you, just let us have what we want. And that's all God has to do. Just take his hand off. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Have at it. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever done that with somebody? You were doing something, maybe some kind of job or something like that, and somebody just had to tell you, no, I know. I'll never forget my dad telling this story. When he went to Vidalia, Georgia to start church there, he went to worked for a job, and he worked for a man by the name of Benny Kirkland. And Benny Kirkland was a builder, and he built homes, things like that. And dad learned a tremendous amount about building, working for him. But he said, we were on a job pouring concrete. And he said, we had this job pouring concrete, and he said we poured it, and he said we had troweled it off smooth. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I wouldn't be any good at this, but I can remember watching my dad and watching other people pour concrete, and they'd trowel that stuff and trowel it. Man, get it just smooth as it could be. But he said there was a guy came up on the job, another employee said, no, don't do that. It's not supposed to be out smooth. It's supposed to be rough. And he took a broom and swept all that they had troweled off smooth. and it dried that way. And the boss came up and he said, "Who did that?" And I don't remember how it all came. I don't know that everybody went, but that guy that had roughed it up was given a stone and said, "Smooth it out." And he had to take that and rub it all until basically sand and concrete. I just want you to know, cement sanding ain't easy, all right? But that guy had to do it. You see, the easiest way to get at him, okay, just turn him loose. Let him do what he wants. Sometimes God does that with us. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that's what's happening here in the Word of God. I believe this is it. I believe God saw their unbelief. Hey, listen, he had heard them gripe. He had heard them complain. He had heard them murmur. He had seen them challenge Moses. And he'd gone through all of that. And I really believe, just from everything I read with over in Numbers chapter 1, and then coming back here, I believe the Lord said, okay, we're going to give them what they want. He saw their unbelief. They didn't believe him about the promised land. So he let them have their unbelieving ways, all right? And what the spying did was just encourage their unbelief. That was all it did, all right? I want you to think with me, okay? Look at verse 18, Numbers chapter 13, all right? I want you to see this. All right, and we're reading verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, "Go you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Could I just say this to you? Every bit of information they were told together was unnecessary. Didn't matter a bit. Every bit of what they were asking, it didn't matter, huh? Hey, the people, notice what it says there, all right? I want you to check it out, all right? Verse 18, see the land, what is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. I want to ask you this, what difference did that make? What difference did it make if the people were strong? What difference did it make if they were weak? What difference did it make if they were jam full and there was tons of them, or they were just little handfuls here and there? What difference did it make? Because God said, it's yours, you can have it. Just go possess it. I'm saying to you, it didn't matter at all, okay? God was able to give them that land regardless of what the people were like in it. Hey, the next thing, whether they dwell, you know, what cities they be. Do they dwell in tents? Are they in strongholds? Is it walled cities or just a bunch of Bedouins in tents, you know? And check all that out. Hey, I want to tell you, the abode of the people didn't matter. It didn't matter where they lived. God was able to deliver the land to them if it was defended by strong cities, towers, and everything else, or if it's just a bunch of tents. God was able to give it to them, all right? God was able to do it. And they said, now, you know, check out the land, whether it's fat or lean, and bring the fruit. What difference did it make? God, by the way, had already told them. There's a land of milk and honey. God already told them what the land was. He had told them it was a great land, a fruitful land. All this information that they were going to get was only going to feed the fear and the unbelief of these people. God just told him, he said, go possess it. And remember what the Bible said there in Deuteronomy chapter 1? Moses said, every one of you came by and said, let's check it out first. Let's go check it out first. Let's see what it's like. I'm saying to you, the information they were going together was absolutely unnecessary. But they sent in 12 spies. I want to point out to you, all 12 saw the same conditions and people. But they didn't all give the same report. All right. You said, what was the difference? Well, with a majority opinion, faith took a back seat. Faith took a back seat. All right. The majority report was one of unbelief. Look, if you will, there. All right. Verse 27. Said, they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They had a cluster of grapes that it took two men to carry. I'll never forget hearing Curtis Hudson preach. He's talking about this. He said, one of those grapes fell off, and he said a fellow stepped on it, and the meat squished out, and it's big enough he could take the skin and use it as a shower cap. All right? He said, was it that big? I don't know. It wasn't there. But I'm telling you, the Bible said it took two men to carry that group. All right, so that's what they said. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But, now it doesn't say but it says nevertheless. Here it comes. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. All right? Hey, man, that was the majority report, okay? Majority report. Verse 32 says, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. Hey, let me tell you, you know what they did? They lied. It was a dishonest report. It was a dishonest report. It's amazing, the majority report, the one of unbelief, was given first. Isn't that always the way it is? Doesn't it seem like evil always gets the first word? Just seems like evil always has that first word, that first opportunity to stand up and make a point, you know. And notice how many words they said about it, all right? But it was untrue. You look there at verse 32. Man, that land didn't eat up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people, they were not men of great stature. They weren't all giants. Were there some giants? Yes. But they weren't all giants. The truth is, the giants were the big minority. There were some. What he's saying, I'm saying that report that they gave was untrue. That report emphasized the negative. Why? Why? Faith took a back seat. Faith took. Look, anytime you put faith away from you, you're going to emphasize the negative. You're going to be able to see the impossibility real well. You're going to see the obstacles. They're going to stand out. Okay? They're going to stand out. They emphasize, the only thing positive they said was in verse 27. And what they said in verse 27 was God told the truth. God told the truth, but we need to give you the rest of the story, all right? Their deduction is in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Amen. Why? They left out God. They left out God. Didn't consider him. Hey, by the way, unbelief always leaves out God. Unbelief always leaves God out. And we look at it and we say, we're not able. And to that, Moses could have probably said, amen, we aren't. But man, we serve a God that is. But unbelief held sway, all right? Because faith took a back seat. Now the minority report came in and put faith in the front seat. All right, I want you to take a look. Verse 30. Now, they had just heard all the bad news there, verse 28, verse 29, all right? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." We are well able to overcome it. What a short report he gave. What a short report he gave. Man, we can do it. We can take this bunch, all right? It was truthful. It was a we can. It was let's go, all right? It saw the problems. By the way, Caleb never said, "Hey, none of that's true. Man, there's no Hittites, there's no Jebusites, Canaanites, Amorites, or any otherites," okay? He never said that. He never said there's not walled cities. He didn't overlook the obstacles, okay? He didn't do that. He saw them, but he also saw God. He also saw God. And my friend, that is what makes the difference, all right? We can see every problem there is, okay? We can see all the obstacles. But man, if we'll just get a glimpse of God. What did the Bible say there in Hebrews? Seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him. Seeing him. Hey, it's faith. When faith gets in there, and Caleb, I think, would have reminded the people, "Hey, listen, God said we can, we can. We can." Notice, very short deal, all right? Truth often gets little time or little attention. Little time or little attention. I'm probably going to preach on this in the near future. I read this deal today. I printed it off, saved it. It's 5 pages of mocking God's people because they're so stupid as to believe it, as to believe creation and not evolution. I read that thing, honest. The longer I read, the madder I got. I'm just sitting there going, you believe that? Well, hey, man, the truth gets very little attention. But if they can find one little rock somewhere, ooh, this is a breakthrough. This could be, take the history of man back another 100 million years. What have you got? I think it's a tooth. Man, that's the story of the archaeology and all of that kind of stuff. It is amazing what they can do. Years ago, we went to youth camp. I mean, this was a long time ago. And we went to youth camp, and Pete Ruckman was preaching, and he was illustrating it with a chalk drawing. And the first thing he put, I'll never forget it, the first thing, now he preached on hell, but the first thing he put on there was a V. I thought, where is this going? Where is it? A little V now. Well, that V was a tooth on a dragon. Okay? A tooth on a dragon. It was amazing. All right? I've never forgotten that. I thought, man, if I'd have been drawing, I'd have never started with the tooth. Okay? But maybe it's right because, man, that's all it takes for the archaeologist to dig up is a tooth. So we ain't never seen one like this before. Never seen anything like this. All right, I'm not going to preach that tonight. That'll be later, all right? But I just want to tell you, the truth gets very little time, very little attention. But it was a report of faith. Can I remind you, it takes great courage to live by faith. Can you imagine the scene? I just want you to put yourself for a little bit at that scene there at Kadesh Barnea. Those 12 spies have come back right there in Numbers chapter 13. And the majority report starts, all right, in verse 27, all right? And they said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And the people were looking at that big monster, grapes and all that stuff. They were going, yeah, look at that. But then they heard, nevertheless. And then he went on to tell them why we came. Man, there's big cities. They're walled. The people that live there are strong. There's giants there. And he gave all of them that were there, okay? And then he goes on later to say that he eats up the land. Can you imagine the murmuring everything that began to flow through that crowd and everything they began to say, all right? If you go into chapter 14, we're going to look at it just a moment, what they said. And boy, once again, jump on Moses. Jump on Moses Day. All right, why? Because faith took a back seat. We just eliminated faith. I just want to tell you something, folks. Were it not for faith, I wouldn't be here tonight. Were it not for my faith in God, I wouldn't be here. I'd be out there doing the same thing most people in this world are, trying to make every buck I could, trying to salt it away, and so I could eat, drink, be merry, and live happily ever after. And that's the theme of this world. But man, I'll tell you, the thing that makes us different is we've got faith. We believe God. We don't just read this book and say it's entertaining. We believe what he says. It is faith in him that makes the difference. Makes a difference. But I want you to see what happened. Because of all this that went on, the truth was rejected. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now, technically, it wasn't all of them. There was at least two that were on their side, okay? But it's the way people say stuff, all right? And they, the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wait a minute. Remember what I told you? How the easiest way for God to deal with us is just so, come on, let you have what you want. Guess what? They all died in the wilderness. God said, it's what you want? Okay. Would God we had died in the wilderness? Okay. We can arrange that. Not a problem. Not a problem whatsoever. They got their wish. All because faith took a back seat. You hear me? All because faith took a back seat. Now you be careful, folks. You be careful. You start listening to the majority report. You start hearing that crowd that says, hey, there's not a chance. Can't make it. We can't overcome that. Preacher, what you're asking us to do is impossible for us to do. We can't do that. It's impossible. They're stronger than we are. What happened to God? What happened to God? You be careful. God didn't give you what you say you want. He did the Israelites. Why? Simply because they put faith in the back. Hey, folks, don't let that happen to you. You know, faith needs to be out there in the front, okay? We need to never forget that without faith, it is impossible to please him. You with me? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's not us. It's not our strength. Not our strength. It's not us leading on to victory. It's God. Lord, we're just going to do what you say, and it's up to you to do what you said you'd do. We'd obey you. It's your job. Your job. Hey, what are we going to do? Are we going to put faith in the back seat, or are we going to keep faith right there with us? We're going to maintain our faith in him. Believe him. Quit being so concerned with the circumstances and the situation, the trials, the problems, the obstacles, and just say, Lord, either you're right and you're God or you're not. And he's God, and he is. All we need to do is trust him. All we need to do is trust him and obey him. Preacher, sure looking dark. Yeah, it gets dark sometime. But the sun's coming up in the morning. Amen. You can count on it. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Would you help us to see that faith is so important for us? Lord, when we look at what happened to the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses, as they decided we can't trust God, we can only trust ourselves. And Lord, they got what they asked for, but I don't believe they wanted what they got. Lord, would you help us to be people of faith? Help us put our faith in this book and the God of this book. And Lord, that we might serve you faithfully as long as you give us life. As long as you give us the opportunity, we'd stay faithful to you. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, and ask the pianist to come, the song leader. We're going to sing a verse just as I am. Look, we may sing two or five.